David knew that a believer can never dally with sin without suffering grave consequences. Do you know that, and do you understand that?
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
119th Psalm, of course, is an unparalleled portrait of the beauty and the glory and the power and the excellence of God's Word. All 176 verses and all 22 stanzas of this psalm are jam-packed with significant insights into the character and the content of God's Word. In this particular section, Psalm 119 and verses 9 to 16, we are given an insight in particular into the potency of God's Word. I think that's the real burden of this particular stanza of the psalm. It's designed to illustrate for us the potency or the power of God's Word. The psalmist begins with a probing question in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Indicates an earnest pursuit. It's almost a cry of anguish. How can a man be clean? And it indicates not only an earnest pursuit, if you'll remember, but also an early pursuit. Wherewithal shall a young man? It's the best time to ask the question. And that's the best time to begin the pursuit, when we're young. And then not only is it an earnest and an early pursuit, but it's an essential pursuit. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the fact of the matter is, we are not clean. We're infected with a congenital disease. The infective agents and organisms of sin are a part of our anatomy. They've invaded humanity, and you and me in particular. And we need a cleansing, and there's no basis for this cleansing apart from the message of God's Word, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, and the inscripturated Word, the written down Word, the Bible. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He begins with a probing question, and he moves on to, or he follows it up with a powerful solution in the last half of verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man, Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the probing question. The powerful solution is by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. That's the solution expressed. And then it's expanded. He tells us, secondly, how we are to heed God's word. And that's the burden of verses 10 to 16. He says, number one, that we are to heed God's word wholeheartedly. Do you notice verse 10? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. David, or the psalmist, does not want to wander from God's commandments, because that's where he finds God. We find him supremely in the pages of Scripture. He says, I have sought thee with my whole heart. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I wonder how many of us wander from God's commandments, are insensitive to what God is saying to us in his word. Number one, David says, this is how I want you to heed God's word. I want you to heed God's word wholeheartedly. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. That's one way in which we give heed to God's word, wholeheartedly. Now, the second way is in verse 11, affectionately. Thy word have I hid in my heart. We hide it away in our heart. Why? We have an affection for it. We love God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I heed God's word affectionately. You see, the heart, among other things, is the source of affection. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, that's a tremendous verse, and there's more than one way to analyze this verse, but this is what I see. First, I see that there is a declaration. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's the psalmist's declaration. And then secondly, I see there is a design. There's a purpose. There's a genius behind that declaration. The declaration, thy word have I hid in my heart, the design or purpose for that I might not sin against thee. Now, as I look at that declaration, thy word have I hid in my heart, two things come to my mind. Number one, there's the treasure, thy word. And number two, there is the treasury, the place of deposit. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. The treasure and the treasury. The treasure is thy word. In other words, the value of God's word is incalculable. It's inscrutable. It's untraceable. In the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the third chapter, it's unsearchable, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, revealed in his person and revealed in His Word. The value of God's Word is incalculable. It cannot be computed with human devices. That's why David said in Psalm 12 and verse 6, the words of the Lord, what are the words of the Lord to you? This is what they were to David. The words of the Lord are pure words. They're like silver. Silver's of great value, but not ordinary silver. They're like silver tested in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times, highly refined, extremely and excessively valuable silver. That's what the words of the Lord are like. They're of great value. They're incalculable value. The treasure that I hide in my heart. And the analogy there is the idea of depositing as in a bank, in a safe place, a very valuable treasure. The treasure that I hide in my heart is God's Word. How valuable, on a practical basis, is God's Word to you? Notice the treasury, thy word have I hid in my heart. That word hid, here's the treasury now, thy word have I hid in my heart. That word hid is the word which means to lay up or store up riches or treasures in a safe place. Safan is the Hebrew word. It means to lay up or store up riches or treasures in a safe place. The treasure, obviously, as we've said, is the Word of God. And the treasury, the place of deposit, is the human heart. And David means, I think, that just the laying up of the Word of God in the memory is not enough. It's not enough just to place it in our mind. I mean, that's a good place to start. We got to memorize God's Word. You ever think about that? I don't want to get you under conviction here. I'm not trying to be too pointed. But when was the last time you memorized a verse or a passage of God's Word? You know, that doesn't end when you get out of Awana. When was the last time you memorized, made a serious effort, exercised the necessary discipline to memorize a passage of God's Word? That's a good place to start. The memory is a good place to start. Laying it up in the mind is a good place to start, but that is not adequate. It must be known and prized and laid up, the psalmist says, in the heart. It must occupy the affection as well as the understanding. It's something that must be loved. God's Word must be loved as well as learned. It's a spiritual discipline as well as an academic and intellectual discipline. It's not something that's only intellectually stimulating. It's to be spiritually transforming. And the Word of God becomes spiritually transforming when we love it. Not only learn it, we love it. It occupies not only our understanding, but our affection. We have not only a right method of thinking, we have a right relationship with God. That's when God's Word transforms. The heart is at least two things, and both the grammar and the theology of the Bible bears it out. The heart is two things. One, it is the center of our being. The very word lav, which is the Old Testament word for heart, means the core center of a stem or of something, of an entity, the interior of something. It's the center of our being. The heart is the center of our being. It's the fountain out of which everything flows. The heart is the total inner man. It's the master control of everything in our life. That's why Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, it's the center of our being, and it's the source of our problems. Did you know that? The heart, almost exclusively, the heart is the source, not only the center of our being, it's the source of our problems. You take any problem in life, anything that leads to wretchedness, and sorrow and division or hatred or animosity, and you find out the cause. You trace it back to its source, and you'll find that finally and ultimately it comes from somewhere inside the heart. Some unworthy, some selfish desire or attitude or motive which is traceable to the heart. It might be personal gain. It might be revenge. It might be pride. It might be arrogance or hatred or anger or lust, but you find it lurking in the heart. It's somewhere in the heart. Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart. Remember that? For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness and evil eye and blasphemy and pride and foolishness. Those are the very words of Jesus. All these evils come from within and defile the man. They come out of the heart. They're the pollutants which lurk in the unregenerated and unsanctified heart. And so David said, I know that, and I'm going to hide God's word in my heart. He gives us the design of that I might not sin against thee. The declaration, thy word, that's the treasure, have I hid in my heart, that's the treasury. That's the place I deposit it. And then the design that I might not sin against thee. And as I look at that design, I think of two things in closing. One, to me, there's an element of intensity there, that I might not sin. Now, you don't see the intensity in English, but it's there in Hebrew. In Hebrew jargon, this is low with the imperfect, which is probably the strongest way in the Hebrew language of expressing a negative concept, that I might never sin. That was David's desire. Now, he never realized it fully, to be sure, but that was his desire, that I might never sin against thee. David knew from experience Whatever one of us must learn. And we don't have to learn it by experience. We can learn it from David's experience. David knew that a believer can never dally with sin without suffering grave consequences. Do you know that? And do you understand that? David knew from experience that a believer can never dally with sin without suffering grave consequences. We can't take sin lightly. Remember David's sin? David saw Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 11. David saw Bathsheba, and then David sinned with Bathsheba. And then David sentenced Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to an untimely death. And then David suffered the loss of three of his sons. Untimely deaths for three of his sons because of his sins. David knew from experience that the wages of sin is more sin. He knew that there's no such thing as a little bit of sin. Some modern Christians want to dally with it, just dabble with it, just a little bit here, just experiment here, just a little bit of sin. There's no such thing as a little bit of sin. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The wages of sin is more sin, more in quantity and more in binding consequences. So there's an element of intensity that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. There's not only an element of intensity, but there's also an emphasis on deity. Do you notice? That I might not sin against whom? Against thee. You see, sin is an ugly thing. Sin is a universal contaminant. Sin is a power which has mankind in its vice grip. But the most devastating and the most awful quality, the most ugly quality of sin is that sin is an affront to God. It is an offense to our Creator and to our Maker. Every time I sin, every time I hurt myself or hurt somebody else with my sin, I've hurt not only myself or somebody else, I've hurt God. God who loved me and God who made me and God who died for me in the person of Christ, who redeemed me and who saved me. It's an affront. It's an offense to God. So David tells us how we can guard against this tragic circumstance. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see, the Christian is the person who heeds God's word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. God, how shall I heed thy word? Heed God's word wholeheartedly. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And we heed God's word affectionately. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I have an affection. I have a love for God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I wonder if these are the terms that describe our relationship to God's word and to God himself. Do you love and seek God and his word with all your heart? Does God's word occupy your affection as well as your understanding? Are you prepared to exercise the necessary discipline to hide God's word in your heart in order that you might not sin against him? Seems to me those are the probing and the practical questions and applications that grow out of the second stanza of the 119th Psalm.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.